Good day to you on this Resurrection Sunday. This is undoubtedly the most unusual Resurrection Sunday I have experienced in my entire life. And I have to say it's a bit disappointing because for the first time in a number of years, I actually went out a few weeks ago, actually about 2 months ago, and bought a new suit. And I'm not going to be able to wear that new suit on Easter Sunday. I guess I will have to wait for someone in our congregation to get married so that I have another occasion to wear a suit. But I hope you're enjoying this Easter Sunday, and I hope you are getting to wear your new clothes. You can always go out on your front porch, let your neighbors see you in all your Easter finery and all your new shoes and new clothes and Easter bonnets. But this is the day when we observe and commemorate. But more than that, this is the day when we celebrate the defeat of death in the rising of Jesus Christ from the icy clutches of the grave. And normally, pastors consider it their duty to find a way to enable people to recognize what the resurrection of Jesus means for them. Now, that is a perfectly appropriate thing for pastors to do, and I have attempted to do that for more than 20 years, and I want to do that today as well. But it is not appropriate, it is not right, to give people the impression that the resurrection of Jesus was only for us, that it only did something for us, human beings. The resurrection was not just for us. The resurrection was also for Jesus. Think about it. Prior to the resurrection, Jesus, the Son of God who had come to earth as a man, Jesus was imprisoned prior to the resurrection in the jailhouse of death. The one through whom life was created was a prisoner of death. That is not right. If we think death is repugnant to us, think what it was like for the one who is light and life and perfect freedom to be confined to Sheol, the place of the dead. But the resurrection freed Jesus from death's hold. Not only that, but the resurrection vindicated Jesus. It proved that everything Jesus had said was truth, and everything he had done was in accordance with the will of God. God would never glorify through resurrection someone whose life was filled with lies or whose life was a life of disobedience to the will of God. The resurrection vindicated Jesus. It showed him to be right. But not only did it vindicate Jesus, the resurrection spoke the final word about who Jesus actually was and is. The resurrection showed Jesus to be all he claimed to be. It showed him to be the Savior, the Son of God, the Lord of life. As Jesus died on the cross, there were crowds of people who treated him like a sad individual who had to have been mentally unbalanced. Many people looked on him like he was the most pathetic loser the world has ever seen, the biggest failure who ever lived. But when Jesus rose from the dead, it became clear that he was not a lunatic with a Messiah complex. He was nothing less than the Messiah. The Savior God promised the Old Testament prophets he would send into this world. And think of what the resurrection did for God the Father. If God the Father sent his Son into this world, but the world and the spiritual forces of evil were able to defeat him and lock him away in a tomb, then God himself could not be considered omnipotent or all-powerful. And if God the Father sent his Son into this world, but some people sent Jesus to the underworld, the place of hopeless night, and if God the Father could not reach into that place and rescue his Son, then God the Father could not be considered omnipresent or present everywhere. And if God the Father sent his Son into this world to experience all the limitations and trials of living as a man, but the final result of this mission was only death, then God cannot be considered all wise. But the resurrection of Jesus glorifies God the Father because it shows that He is omnipotent, He is omnipresent, and He is all wise. And think what the resurrection did for the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says it was the Holy Spirit who provided the power, the energy that raised Jesus from the dead, which means that the resurrection glorifies the Holy Spirit by showing Him to be the one who gives supernatural, death-destroying power to those who believe in Jesus. So we begin today by recognizing what the resurrection of Jesus did for God the Father, what it did for God the Son, and what it did for God the Holy Spirit. To them be all honor and glory. But it is also true that the resurrection of Jesus did something for us, and we do not want to ignore that either. During this Holy Week, we have been looking at four ways Jesus said no to the status quo, four ways He changed life as it is typically lived. Four things He overturned, which most people would say could never be overturned. Thursday, we saw that when we look at the Passion story, we see, first of all, that Jesus said no to the status quo of lying to protect oneself. Friday, we saw that when we look at the Passion story, we see, second, that Jesus said no to the status quo of hating those who hate us. And then Saturday, we saw that when we look at the Passion story, we see third, that Jesus said no to the status quo of separation. Finally, when we look at the Passion story, when we look at the Passion story, we see that Jesus said no to the status quo of death. Yesterday, we saw how Jesus said no to the status quo of separation that stood between us and God. And in doing that, Jesus was also able to say no to the status quo of death. There is no better illustration of what status quo means than the human mortality rate. The Latin term status quo literally means the state in which, and the state in which we find ourselves, the state in which every human being finds himself or herself, is the state of gradually and progressively dying. We are all on a journey toward death. After this day is over, after we have a wonderful dinner with our family via Zoom, after all the celebration of this day is done, when this day closes, we will be one day closer to our meeting with the Undertaker. Isn't that a lovely thought? We should take a few hours today and just sit down and ponder that delightful thought. And if we do that, we will have a much greater appreciation for why this celebration of Resurrection Sunday is so important to us. Many people try to hide from the reality of death. They use movies or sports or shopping or sex or music or hobbies or making money to try and take their minds off what they know they will have to face in the irrevocable future. There are others, however, who have decided not to hide from the cold, hard reality of death. Take, for example, the existentialist French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. Sartre said that there is no exit from this life with its inevitable death sentence. That was the title for one of his most famous books, No Exit. We are on this downward escalator headed toward death, and you cannot stop the escalator, and you cannot get off. Sartre called us beings toward death. How can we have hope when we're all rushing headlong into the icy cold arms of death? And it's hard to live this way, but what's the alternative? There is no alternative. There is clearly no way out. Some people actually believe suicide is their way out. That makes no sense at all. Suicide is certainly no way out. You only speed the inevitability of death by committing suicide. And since death is coming for us anyway, what sense does it make to speed its approach? That's why most people, instead of hastening death, instead of hurrying death, they try to slow it down. But that doesn't work either. The more we try to hold on to each day, the faster each day seems to slip away. A little more than a month before Sartre died, he said that he had such a desire to resist feelings of total despair that he began to repeat to himself, "I know I shall die in hope. I know I shall die in hope. I know I shall die in hope." But then, with a profound sense of sadness, he would say, "But hope needs a foundation, and I have none." There's only one foundation that can enable us to die in hope, and that foundation is the resurrection of Jesus. The end of the Gospel of Mark says this: "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body." Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Oftentimes at Easter, we talk about all the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. We do not have time to do that today, but the most obvious evidence is staring us in the face. That evidence is us. In the first century, Christianity was not an established religion which someone tried to improve by adding to its beliefs the teaching that Jesus rose from the grave. The crucial point is this: there was no Christian faith and there was no Christian church before the resurrection of Jesus. It was the news of the resurrection that brought the Christian faith into existence. It all began, literally, with the empty tomb and the risen Christ. Christianity was only a tiny movement when Jesus died, and when he died, his followers looked for holes to crawl into in order to escape the same fate Jesus had experienced. That fate was being nailed to a cross. But look around today. On this day, there are Christians all over the world, more Christians than have ever existed at any one time in all of history. And all these Christians are worshiping the risen Jesus today. And today we are all celebrating his defeat of the power of death. How do you explain that? There is actually only one logical explanation for this amazing fact, and that explanation is the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus had not walked out of the tomb, there would have been nothing powerful enough to transform the fear of a tiny ragtag band of followers into the worldwide force that Christianity is today. The state in which we now find ourselves is the state of slowly and progressively dying. But Jesus said no to the status quo of death. He defeated death, and he says to us that if we belong to him, we shall overcome death as well. We too will rise. You know something, there have been many in history who have changed the status quo, but do you realize that their changes actually became the new status quo? For example, Henry Ford changed life profoundly when he started producing cheap, affordable automobiles. But that profound change is today the status quo. Most people now have at least one automobile, and we take it for granted. When the status quo is changed, it does not take long until the new change becomes the new status quo. But here's what's so amazing about Jesus. The changes he brought about are still just as profoundly revolutionary today as they were 2,000 years ago. Telling the truth, even when it's in our selfish interest to lie, that is not status quo. That is radical. That is revolutionary. Loving the people who hate and despise us, that's not status quo. That is radical. Walking into the very presence of God and calling Him Father with nothing to separate us from Him, that's not status quo. That is radical. And facing death, not with fear, but with confident hope, that is not the status quo. That is radical. That is what the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has brought to this world. That is real change. That is life-giving change. Do you need change today? If you need change, you need the resurrected Jesus. And because He is alive, He is here today for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we are today, as the psalmist David said, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There is death all around us. Today, with the threat of the coronavirus, we are more aware of that than ever. We work hard to avoid death. We work hard to prolong life. But no matter how hard we work at these things, death comes to us all. That's why we're not only commemorating this special day today, we are celebrating. We celebrate because what we could never do, save us from death, what we could never do, Jesus has already done. He has faced death eye to eye, and Jesus did not back down. He invaded the realm of the dead, and there He proclaimed the good news of His victory over death. And then He walked out of the tomb on Easter Sunday morning so that this victory could be shared with every man, woman, and child. Lord God, help us to share that victory today. Help us to proclaim our hope. Help us to tell people why we are not terrified of death, as real as it is. It's because of Jesus. And it's because He has defeated death. And no matter what happens with the coronavirus, no matter what happens with the wars that are raging all over this world, no matter what happens with the hatred and passions that are erupting into crime in places all over this earth, no matter what happens with those things, we will not be destroyed. We will not be defeated. We will not be undone because Jesus Christ conquered death and our hope is in Him. We thank You, Lord God, for raising Jesus from the dead. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving Your life to die in our place. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for being the energy, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We praise Your name because You deserve glory on this wonderful day, this day of all days. We praise Your name. Amen.